Sunday morning as well. This doesn't happen, but maybe once a year, maybe. And that is, this month, today being the first, there are five Sundays. Now, don't get used to this. We have nothing going on Sunday night all five Sundays. Here. No services, no classes. This is very poor grammar. No nothing, all right? Now, that doesn't mean you're free to do whatever, but you are free to do whatever, all right? You can choose to do some things you don't normally have opportunity to do on Sunday nights. So, can I give you a suggestion? Next Sunday, I think it's at 3 o'clock, at Legacy, there is a special Christmas program. Is that next Sunday or following Sunday? When is that? It's called Bright, right? That's next Sunday. I recommend you go to that if you can, all right? Also next Sunday at 6 o'clock on the University, Cedar Valley University campus, their annual Christmas gift to the community, their annual Christmas concert, free concert, is next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So I would just recommend that to you as well. And then you'll just have to be creative on the other Sundays. Decide what to do, where to go, who to have in, who to reach out to. Now, I'll just be honest. Today, we just came through 4 days of 11 grandchildren and 19 people and a dog. We are just going to catch our breath tonight, okay? That's what we're planning to do. We're just going to... And things are going to be too quiet. Things have been very busy and fun and loud the last 4 days. But they all left. And it's just Grammy and G staring at each other now, you know. We can do that for one Sunday night, you know. We'll just do that. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." This is the Word of God. Someday, things are going to change around here forever. Forever. Someday, everywhere on the earth, there will be only good, not bad. There will be only right, not wrong. There will be only joy, not sorrow. There will be only truth, not lies. Someday. Someday. Things are going to be a new order. A new order of things, both in heaven and on earth, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Someday. The day is coming. And this is sobering. I mean, the last verse that I read is very sobering. And so is this. The day is coming when a great cosmic explosion will occur and a consuming fire will sweep across our planetary system, unlike anything this world has ever seen before. And this catastrophic event will mark the end of time and life as we know it. As we know it. Now, speaking of this, the Apostle Peter wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 3. But by the same word, that is by God's word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed, or literally will be burned up. This will not happen. It's going to happen. This is going to happen. But it will not happen until after Jesus returns and raptures his church. This will not happen until after the tribulation period on earth takes place. This will not happen until after the millennial kingdom on earth happens. This will not happen until after the devil has been cast into the lake of fire forever. So what we're reading about here in Revelation 21 is like the beginning of the eternal state. Time is no more. The heavens and earth as we know them are now new. They're different. They're changed. They're regenerated. When the earth and the heavens as we know them have passed away, now use your imagination, but just, it's not fairy tale stuff. When all of that passes away, when there is this great loud hiss and everything is burned up, the only thing left will be this great white throne in heaven. That's the only thing that will be left at this point. God will judge everyone at that point, not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, including the devil. And we read in verse 15 of Revelation 20, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now that's what John saw as he was given this revelation from Jesus. So now we come to Revelation chapter 21, and the Apostle John is given this special unveiling of eternity. In verses 1 to 2, and I've read these verses already, so I won't repeat that, we read what John saw. Here's what he saw, and we'll look at that in a minute. A new heaven, new earth, new city. And then we read in verses 3 to 8 what he heard. So what he saw, and then what he heard, which was spoken by this loud voice coming from this great white throne. I mean, this is like better than Star Wars, right? This is, here's this great white throne just suspended in the heavens, and from it comes this loud voice. By the way, loud voice is what we get our English word megaphone. This is a mega voice that speaks, that John hears in chapter 21 and verses 3 to 8. So, the future look that we have here in Revelation 21 reveals what's new. In other words, what is going to be renewed, what is going to be restored, what is going to be regenerated. That's what the word new means. It's not like brand new, like nothing you've ever seen before, but it's like what you know now in terms of heaven and earth will be totally gone through an extreme makeover, all right? It's going to be new. It's going to be restored, renewed, regenerated. The word new appears four times in verses 1 through 5. And essentially, what it describes is this new order, this new arrangement of heaven and earth that God will do. There will be no more time. It's like a preacher's holiday. Nobody's looking at their watches. Nobody's craning their necks to see what the clock on the wall says. You know, no more time. No, that's not what it means. But it does mean that. There's be no more time. No more time. And what will be new forever. I mean, at this point, what is being described will be the way things are from that point on into eternity. So, what are the new things that John saw? Let's look at verse 1. The first thing he saw was a new heaven. A new heaven. So, John saw this spectacle emerging from what had been purged by fire in terms of the heavens. The old heavens are gone. The old heaven is gone, and there is a new heaven, a restored, renewed heaven. And I think there have to be some similarities. I don't know what the new heaven will look like, but it's still called heaven. It's a new heaven. And however, there will be no remnants of its previously fallen, sin-cursed state or condition. So, in my mind, and Steve, you're the astronomist. I almost said astrologist. Astronomist, okay? You're the astronomist here. Okay, so it's like when we look into the heavens now, it's breathtaking. It's absolutely breathtaking. What's it going to be like when all of the effects of sin have been removed from the heavens? I mean, what's Mars going to look like, you know? What's our solar system going to look like? What's the sun? Well, actually, there'll be no sun, so we don't have to worry about that. What's it going to look like? So John said a new heaven, then there's going to be a new earth when God is going to restore his creation to its pre-flood, pre-fall condition. That's what new means. It's restored. It's going to be renewed. It will be like it was when God at the end of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31 said, "It is very good. It's just the way I want it." And then sin entered the world. So it's going to be a new earth. Now, here's a little footnote here that I think is very interesting, and I'm not absolutely sure what it means. Except John says, "And the sea was no more." The sea was no more. So I have some suggestions as to what that might mean. It could be that as it was before the flood, all the continents are going to be connected again. And there'll be no more sea, no oceans, no seas. Everything will be, it'll be one large landmass. Maybe that's what it means. Or it may be God's way of indicating that there will be nothing on the earth reminiscent of its post-fall condition. Nothing left that will be at all reminiscent of the way things are today as far as what the earth looks like. The scriptures compare, by the way, the scriptures compare the restless, troubled state of the wicked and ungodly people to the turbulent sea. And that's true throughout Scripture, but in particular, Isaiah 57 Verses 20 and 21 says this, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. God's new earth will be arranged to reflect only that which is godly and peaceful and restful." So there'll no more seam, amen. God says, I don't want anything on the earth to even give a hint of restlessness and the lack of peace and instability. So no more sea. No more sea. Maybe that's what it means. This much we do know. No more tsunamis. No more hurricanes. No more typhoons. I mean, we're talking, those are all because of sin. And now it'll be no more sea, so nothing like that. New heaven, new earth, a new city. Look at verse 2. And John says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, please understand that this is unlike any city that has ever been built on earth, because this is not going to be built on earth. This is being built in heaven. This will come from heaven. God is not going to bring a construction crew of angels to the earth to build this city. He's going to do it by himself in heaven, and he's going to bring this new city, this holy city, this new Jerusalem to the earth. Did you catch that? Okay. So this is a brand, this is a brand new city, is what this is. And God himself is preparing this city for his people. It's called a holy city. Holy in that it is completely and totally set apart for God's people and for God to dwell with his people. This to me is just one of the most amazing things about our God, is that it doesn't say that we will dwell with him. It says that he will dwell with us. He is choosing to dwell with us, those of us who are the redeemed. It's the eternal dwelling place of God's city. It's in a class of its own. I mean, it is totally awesome. It is perfect. It is pure. It is unlike the unholy. I mean, you think of everything that cities are today, unholy, sinful, depraved. I mean, cities today, all you have to do is go downtown Dayton to realize you are not in a holy city, right? It's not a holy city. Can you imagine a city with no liquor stores? Can you imagine a city with no casinos, no crime, no bars, no adult bookstores, no pornography, no false religions, no homeless, and no drugs? And people today would say, then why is it a city if it has none of that stuff in it? Well, that doesn't mark a city. That shows us what sin has done to humanity to build cities like that, to make cities like that. It's going to be a new city. And it's new in that everything God intended the old Jerusalem to be, it will now be. It's called a holy city, the new Jerusalem. Did you catch that? It's the new Jerusalem. It will be a place of safety and security and peacefulness. Everything will be in order. Forever. It says in the last part of verse 2, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So John compares this new holy city as a bride adorned for her husband. We could put it this way, this new city will be as beautiful as a bride. Okay? Which implies purity, it implies beauty. We use that expression today, pretty as a bride, right? Meaning, everything is in place. Everything looks just right. Everything is like perfect. Nothing is out of place. Nothing is dirty. Nothing is sullied. Everything is just beautiful. Now, again, we're seeing an example of the language of appearance here in the Scriptures. So I think John is looking at this and he's going, this defies description. What is this new holy Jerusalem like? It's like a bride adorned for her husband. That's what it's like. And as John watches with rapt attention, he hears this loud voice, megaphone-like voice, coming from the great white throne. And so John turns his attention to what he sees, to what he hears. And he's hearing this voice, and it is the voice of Jesus. It is Jesus speaking. And begins at verse 3, and here's what John heard. In this new order, John hears this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" So in this new order, listen to this, God will be present with his people. We'll know that. We'll see him. He is coming to us. Those of us who are the redeemed, those of us who have made it all the way into the eternal state. And it's like God is telling us today, those of us in Christ today, he's saying, have I got something special for you? Wait until you see what I am preparing just for my own. And when I bring it down from heaven and place it on the new earth, you're going to be there and I'm going to be there with you. Amen. You know who that is? That's Jesus. That's who's going to be with us. Jesus is the only God we will ever see. But he is God. And he walked this earth as a man, and someday he's coming back. And Jesus will have the appearance of a man throughout eternity. Did you know that? Because he is the God-man. And he's the God-man forever. I mean, this blows my mind. When I think about living in a city and... who's that? Well, that's Jesus. Well, look who's walking down the street. It's Jesus. That will be an everyday occurrence in the new holy city of Jerusalem. We can't fathom that. Now, today he's with us. He's with us in the form of his Spirit. That is the Spirit of Christ. But we can't see him, we can't touch him. And it's like Jesus is saying, I am reserving my visible, physical presence for eternity. And once we're in the holy city together, you will see me forever. You know what I don't spend enough time thinking about? That. I don't spend enough time thinking about that, and I don't think we'll ever get over being with Jesus and seeing Jesus. I think that will be a wow thing for eternity. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where that's just Jesus, you know, he's always around here, you know. I don't think we'll ever get there. I think that's Jesus. Whoa! Can you believe this? He's going to be with us like that forever. See, before the fall, God tabernacled or dwelt with Adam and Eve in the garden, right? I mean, they heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the garden. So he was with them in the garden. And then, after the fall, and when they came out of Egypt, God instructed them to build this tent-like structure that was portable, and that was called the tabernacle because that's where God met with his people. And then after that, they built a temple in Jerusalem, and that was where God tabernacled with his people. But lest we forget, those of us who are believers, those of us who are the body of Christ, we collectively are the temple of God. And so God is tabernacling with us. He is dwelling with us. We just can't see him, but he's here. But someday, we'll see him. I think if there is a sobering side to all of this, it's that even though we cannot see him, he's with us. He's with us wherever we are. He's always with us. He is with us wherever we go. He is with us whatever we do. He is a part of our lives at all times. And just as the Jerusalem on earth today is not a holy city, no city is. Those of us, even in Christ, we're not totally holy people either, are we? I know there are times when the way I live and the way I talk and the things I do and the things I look at must just be a grief to Jesus. It must just break his heart. Because he's with me and he sees that and he hears that. Because he's with me. And I don't know, I'm just kind of amazed that he has stayed with me through all of that. And that he's got this planned. He's preparing this place where throughout eternity, God will tabernacle or dwell with his people in this holy city, this new Jerusalem, where there will be forever fellowship, unending communion. That's the good news. So, in this new order, God will be present with his people. Number two, sin and its effects will be absent. So God will be present, sin and the effects of sin will be absent. Now, we cannot fathom that, can we? There will be no tears because that which brings tears will be gone. The absence of tears is due to the absence of sin and its effects. So that's what he says in verse 5. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. It's new. It's all been renewed. No more death. We cannot imagine that. Because we've had loved ones die recently, or in this past year, or we've had a pet die that we just love. We've had plants die in our house, right? I mean, we're talking no more death at all, and death is what brings most of our tears. No more sorrow. You know what that means? No more grief. No more mourning. And then he says, no more crying. Now, what is that about? Well, I think that speaks of no more agonizing cries, no more anguish, no heartbreak in heaven. No more pain. Now, you bring that down to the level of where most of us live. It's like, man, it'd be great. These aches and pains gone, you know, just no more pain, you know, no more arthritis, no more fibromyalgia, you know, no more migraines. I mean, no more pain. Well, that's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. No disease and no injury, no aches and pains, no aging. Woo-hoo. All right? No aging. And all that comes with aging. Now, I was reminded by more than one or two of my grandkids, gee, you're getting old. Okay? I know. I look at that face every morning, you know. It's not the face that it was 40 years ago. All right, I'm getting old. But with that comes all the things that come with aging, you know. The creaking knees. All right? But not just that, it's the diabetes, right? It's the high cholesterol. It's the cancer. It's the pancreatitis. It's the pancreatic cancer. I mean, it's all of that that comes, not just necessarily with aging, but no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And, you know, we sing that song that goes through this litany of no mores, but it really doesn't sink in that there really will be no more. None. It's new. It's renewed. It's regenerated. Now, here's something to think about. Imagine this. This is called the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Imagine a city. And by the way, lest you think you're going to be living in some rural horse farm in eternity, you will not be. You're going to be in a city. You're going to be living city life, okay? So, but imagine this. Imagine a city and city life without hospitals and clinics and trauma centers. No fire, no police, no sheriff's departments, Scott. No courthouses, no judges, no attorneys. No social services and welfare agencies. No abortion clinics or crisis pregnancy centers. No nursing homes, no hospice, no home health care. No cancer, no diabetes, no heart disease or AIDS. No crime, no violence, no drugs, no prostitution. No morgues, no funeral homes, and no cemeteries. That's what it means. Have you ever thought how many jobs we would not have were it not for sin? Most of us would be out of work based upon what we give our lives to today in terms of vocations. I mean, sin is job security for most of us. And I'm not making light of that, because someday there'll be no more sin, no more effects of sin, and all of those jobs go away. You say, what are we going to do? Something a whole lot better than we're doing now. That much I do know, right? So in verses 5 to 8, John's eyes are drawn back to the great white throne that we read about in Chapter 20, verse 11. Look at that. Look at chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, earth and the sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And, you know, just nothing left but the great white throne and the one who sat on it. And here's what he heard him say. Look at verse 5. Behold, I am making all things new. That's our Jesus. He will single-handedly make everything new. No angelic assistance needed. He'll do it. I will make all things, and I am making. Also, here's what he said. I can imagine John, you know, and I will be making all things new. Then Jesus said, write this down. Okay. He starts writing. For these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my what? My son. He'll be mine. When Jesus said, I am making all things new, it reminds me what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 when he said, what? He said, all things are becoming new, a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things are becoming new to those who are in Christ. The old is passing away, the new has come. And don't you know, when a person is regenerated, when a person is reborn, they receive eternal life, they receive a new life, and listen, with that comes a number of things, but you have a new father, God is now your father. You have a new family, and you have a new future. How about that? That's now. That's now. God is our Father. We in Christ are family. And we have a future that is incredible, right? Someday things are going to change around here forever, right? This day is coming. Only God knows when. Christ is going to make a new heaven, a new earth. He's going to build this new city in heaven, and he's going to bring it down to earth, and he's going to put his people in that city, and he's going to dwell in that city with his people. But here's something we all need to know. It's new life in Christ now that gives you a reservation to live in this city then. I honestly think there are people that somehow think wrongly that when I die, I'm going to get a vision of what's really going to be, and I'm going to want that, and God's going to say, okay, you didn't do it on earth, but I'm going to let you. No, he's not going to do that. You have your opportunity now. After death, judgment. That's what the Bible says. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. So it's in this life and in this life only that we have the opportunity of being new creatures in Christ, and then the anticipation of living in a new city on a new earth where God lives with us forever. We need to be that heavenly-minded. We need to be that heavenly-minded. We will be so much more earthly good if we are this heavenly-minded. This morning in the Explore ABF, I had the privilege of teaching from 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter talks about these very same things, and he ends with this. Therefore, knowing all of this, what sort of people ought you to be? I mean, really, how should we be living? What should our lives look like? What should our conversation sound like? How ought we to be living? In light of this, knowing this is coming, stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your life. Start living as if you are going to live here forever with Jesus. Get it right now. And you will be blessed Not like you will be then, but you will be blessed beyond your imagination. So we close this morning by asking the question, what's new? Let's pray. Father, I do pray that your word has not fallen on deaf ears. Your word has not fallen on cold hearts. That by the Spirit of God, it has been seed that is sown and it is falling on fertile soil, good ground. And Father, those of us in Christ, these are things we need to know. These are things we need to know in order to live the way you want us to live now, in order to have the hope and anticipation of what's coming. We need to talk about these things, Father, in our families, to our children, to our parents, to our grandparents. We need to talk about this. This would make such good table conversation. Wow, what's that going to be like? So how should that affect the way I live now? What needs to change? How can I be more like Christ because of what he is planning for me for eternity? Father, I pray that the Word of God has convicted some of us of our sin. I pray that it has convicted us of any unrighteousness that's in our lives. Anything that's out of place, anything that is not befitting of a, not becoming of a Christian. Lord, we need to confess that right now. If that's the case, we need to say, that's sin, that doesn't fit, that doesn't belong, that's not who you want me to be. That shouldn't characterize my conversation, my conduct. And until the day we are in heaven, we will have to be confessing our sins regularly. But when we do, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Lord, give us a God-sized vision of heaven. You just did in your word, but just keep that before us. Help us to be ready to leave this building on this Lord's day and to go out and back to our workplaces tomorrow or maybe even today, back to our studies, back to our neighborhoods, back to our families, and just at least thinking differently than we were before we came here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have our worship team.